You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramil, the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to follow the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. Happy 4th of July to anybody celebrating. If you're listening to this here in the United States and you celebrate the holiday or whatever it might be, then I hope you enjoy it. Holiday doesn't feel quite right, especially with the current vibe of around the country, one that's been slowly building for a while. I don't mean to rain on everybody's parade. Look, we're actually here in South Florida enjoying some pretty great weather, at least for a short time period, in between spouts of heavy, heavy downpours. But it's kind of hard to really embrace the Independence Day and the mentality behind it, at least as it's currently been celebrated over the last few years. But I will say that the meaning behind it is when somebody tells you what to do and that person is wrong, you stick to your beliefs, you do the right thing, and you break free of it. And so I think that's something we can all apply to our lives nowadays. I think the meaning of what Independence Day is not about America. It's not about the United States. It just happened to have here. Plenty of countries have sought independence from overrulers before and just weren't as successful or weren't as ready to promote it as the United States has been over the last 200 some years. But as far as Heat basketball is concerned, let's be independent of bad lines of thinking. You know, happy 4th of July to everybody but Rachel Nichols, actually, because, she's not quite the person a lot of people thought she was. It's easy to kind of just get confused with the notion that somebody on TV, you know, they come across, they're spunky, right? They got energy. That's what you look for. I know that the rationale that a lot of people use when they watch sports or watch brainless TV is like, life is hard enough as it is. I don't want to think too much. I don't want politics involved with my sports. I want to just be able to shut down and not think too much. And so when you see a TV personality bring across the kind of energy that Nichols has throughout her career, I guess it's easy to kind of just fall in line with that. But one thing that I'll keep reiterating here, and it's something that I learned, unfortunately, at an earlier age than I probably should have, but heroes rarely turn out to be as good as you think they are, especially when they're TV personalities. Like the whole nature of being on TV and being a TV personality and, hey, turning it on just for the camera, that kind of stuff, there's just a level of disingenuity. Disingenuity? Well, disingenuousness maybe is a better word, but either way, there's a lack of authenticity. That's probably the best way of saying it. And, you know, her comments about former coworker or fellow coworker Maria Taylor, pretty horrific stuff. And more we're starting to see people just kind of pile on and reveal that maybe Nichols isn't quite the person that we thought she was. This has been a long rant. You're not listening to this podcast to get my takes on Rachel Nichols. You'll probably get lots of different outside sources about that. If you don't know what I'm even talking about, there is a piece in the New York Times that exposed some rather crude comments from Nichols, and I think you'll probably see a lot of that being discussed on Twitter and other places. I'm sure it'll be a story that will continue to blow up. The fact that it was published on a Sunday, on a holiday, not ideal because it doesn't get the kind of exposure it deserves, but maybe it's just before the NBA Finals, which is now set, by the way. Haven't recorded a show in a couple of days, but it looks like the Suns will be taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. It doesn't look like it. They will be taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. And one of the things that I feel like I should touch on is that the Bucks have finally advanced. Do I fear the deer? Hell no. I still think I won't go so far as to say that they're frauds or that they're, you know, bubble frauds or anything like that, the way that Miami was dismissed for their run last year. I think like every other team that I've, you know, has won a championship over the last, I don't know, 50 something years, you take advantage of opportunities when they come your way. I'm a little surprised at Milwaukee's run through the Eastern Conference. I'm still not sold on them. Like there just seem to be moments there where they don't know quite what they're doing. And the fact that they are without their star in Giannis Antetokounmpo kind of shows a lot about, you know, how good that team is as far as their depth is concerned. And yet, there are moments there, they just don't convince me of a powerhouse team. And maybe it's just the nature of this season, right? It's about surviving, not necessarily about triumphing or just winning out over everybody. Just kind of surviving. You know, we got through this. Let's continue to get through four more. I don't know. It's not to dismiss the Bucks necessarily. I'd be happy to do so, but I don't want my mentions turning into a tire fire yet again. But as far as Milwaukee's run through the East is concerned, look, they did an admirable job. I guess they got the job done. They did what was necessary for them. They got past Brooklyn, got past the spunky Atlanta team that's going to be a danger for Miami in the years to come. At least that's what I'm thinking. I see that team, and there's a lot of talent there. There's a lot of youth. There's a good veteran presence there. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I actually think Milwaukee's going to defeat Phoenix pretty easily, even without Adetokounmpo. As talented as the Suns have been, and as much as I think most Heat fans are rooting for Jay Crowder and for Chris Paul just because he is a longtime veteran that has never really gotten this opportunity. Now he's in the NBA Finals for the first time. It probably feels like the Suns are the favorite, at least amongst Heat fans. I think maybe they might be the team that most people view as the underdog to some degree. I actually don't think they'll pull it off. I think Phoenix is very good, but my pick would be Bucks in six, maybe Bucks in five, to be honest with you. I don't know that Phoenix can pull away two games. Even without Adetokounmpo, I just think it's a better team. I think their talent is good, and as much as I might be trashing them or saying they don't feel like a powerhouse, they've been pretty dominant. They do have a good squad, and I think from the Heat perspective, is it better that the team that swept you is the one that goes on to win the finals or at least advances to the finals at this point? I'm not sure. I don't know if that's an argument that makes much sense, because I think the Heat probably could have gone deeper in the playoffs if they had met a different opponent at a different time, right? If you win a couple of those really stupid losses throughout the regular season, maybe you get that 4-5 seed, and maybe you wipe the floor with the Knicks the way that the Hawks did. Maybe you can advance past Philadelphia, excuse me. Maybe you can figure out some way of getting past those teams and being in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Bucks teams. And by that point, then you've kind of shown that you're not just a bubble fraud, that you do have the talent and everything else. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way for Miami. They met a team that had a lot to prove, and they dismissed them pretty easily. And I think now it's just time for Miami to build a new identity, figure out who they are moving forward. I don't know. What do you guys think? I'm curious. Do you think that it's better? I've seen this take a lot, you know, that now for Milwaukee to be the team that moves past, you know, into the finals, is it better for the perspective from Miami that they got swept by the team that eventually moves on? Does anybody really care? You know, second place, third place, fourth place, fifth place, it doesn't really matter where you fall in that hierarchy. You lost. You lost to the team anyway, so it doesn't really necessarily matter. I don't know. I don't think it makes much of a difference. I guess years from now, you can look back and say, yeah, that Milwaukee team was pretty good, and they steamrolled past a Heat team that wasn't as great as a lot of people believe they would be or something like that. I don't know. It's hard to kind of put these things in context. I don't think it's that big a deal. I will say that one thing that isn't also a big deal, and maybe that's not the precursor that you wanted to hear, are the Kawhi Leonard to Heat rumors. I'm at a point now where I just – look, it's that kind of season, right? Trades are going to happen. I think I can't recall exactly where he's from. Bleacher Report, I want to say. A Bleacher Report reporter mentioned that, you know, look, the Heat are going to be linked to every possible trade rumor or free agent, you know, because, well, it's Miami, and that's just what they do. They go after big names. They go after star players. I just don't think it's realistic that Miami is going to be able to pull together a super team, especially when you've already got two all-stars on your roster. It's about building on the fringes, finding the right third player or the right combination of players that will complement what Jimmy and Bam bring to the table. When it comes to Kawhi Leonard, I think we've seen a lot of people go back and forth about this, and I'm going to shoot it down right away. There is a 0% chance, and I'm exaggerating just because that's what you do, right? You give a hot take, or at least a take that seems to stir the masses to some degree. There is no chance that Kawhi comes to Miami. I just don't think he wants to leave his hometown. I don't think he wants to leave that area that he's built something in. I don't think he makes a decision a couple years ago to go there. He wants Jimmy Butler to play alongside him. He settles for Paul George, reportedly. He's gone to the playoffs twice, fallen short, but he's also been injured. And I don't think you look at this past roster and you think to yourself, maybe we're not as good as we think we are, or maybe it's time to move on or anything like that. Plus, you look at the fact that the Clippers had to change their organization to accommodate a player and personality like Kawhi, and I don't see any reason why you'd want to leave that. This isn't Russell Westbrook, who changed the Oklahoma City culture, who had a practice facility built to accommodate his OCD tendencies, and then, you know, was traded away. He was traded away because he had to be, because Oklahoma City was entering into a clear rebuilding phase, and they couldn't just keep Russell and his hefty contract on the books. They had to kind of tear it down so they could rebuild, and they're in good position to do so. I think Kawhi, he's won two championships already. What's next for him? For him, I think when you look at it from that perspective, what's more important is building something that you have ownership over. And right now, that's what I see him having in Los Angeles. He is the guy in that team. He's got his coach. They replaced Doc last year. They got Ty Lue in. Ty Lue is an underrated coach who I think has gotten the most of that team. They weren't able to get past the Suns, but that's not a knock on them. They were missing Kawhi Leonard. If they were healthy, there's a good chance they would have beaten the Suns. They showed consistent tenacity, right? They kept fighting past every time, every series. They went down two games, and they still found a way to come back and win it against good teams too. So I don't see any motivation for him. Like, we're all kind of like picking at straws here and just saying, "Oh, this is a weakness that team has," and as a result, X player, a superstar, wants to leave that team. They did this shit for 4 years in Miami too, right? Every time, you know, they lost a game, Chris Bosh is on his way out. LeBron can't stand being in Miami. Dwayne Wade forcing his way off. That all those players were no longer in a Heat uniform for a significant amount of time. There are extenuating circumstances. LeBron wanted to go build his empire, wanted to go fix what was happening in Cleveland, and saw a sinking ship in Miami. Players will have more flexibility to go to many more teams. I just see in Kawhi a guy who wants to stay where he has some voice over how things are done, where he can just embrace it. I don't think he has to build a legacy anymore. He's an MVP for two different teams. He's already proven he's one of the best players in the world. I just don't think he's going to get that kind of respect around the league that maybe he deserves. Plus, there's also the continuing issues with his injury and everything else. Maybe. I will say, if there's a slim chance of him leaving Los Angeles, it's because of the quote-unquote report that we've seen that maybe he might be upset with the Clippers medical staff. I don't know. If that's the case, would Miami's be any better? If like that's the one thing that might drive Kawhi out of the situation that he created, is Miami's medical team that better? It's not to knock Miami's medical team, but they already have their issues with Justice Winslow and Dion Waiters and others. And it's just, I think this happens around 30 teams around the league. You know, medical teams will put forth the diagnosis that they believe in and it may be contrary to what an outside source might provide or what that player must be thinking or feeling. But hey, you know, Kawhi seems like a slightly temperamental guy. For all of his robotic nature and everything else, there is his close confidant, his Uncle Dennis, that I think has a much more powerful voice than a lot of people understand. And I think Kawhi, I just think he's going to be unhappy almost under any circumstances. And if that's the case, like, I mean, people were debating, why bring James Harden to Miami? Why would you want Kawhi Leonard here? Just because of the talent that he provides for 50-something games? Maybe. I mean, can you count on him in the playoffs? I mean, clearly the Clippers couldn't. So I don't... I've seen reports, or I've seen headlines anyway, that Miami's going to go all in on Kawhi Leonard. Maybe that's the case. I just don't see it happening. I don't think that's a realistic option. So I'm going to go ahead and say there's a 0% chance that Miami lands Kawhi this offseason. But anyway, one player that is on the Heat roster and probably isn't getting the respect he deserves from Heat fans is Tyler Hero. I'll talk about that a little bit more in the next segment. But first, I wanted to tell you about the best-tasting protein bar ever, and that's a Built Bar. Look, right now, you're probably you're knee-deep in barbecue sauce or potato salad or whatever people eat on July 4th. I mean, there are so many different options, and unfortunately, as a meat eater, I can't really embrace the same kinds of things that most people do. So I understand. Look, there's plenty of meatless options out there. And if you are listening to this and you haven't tried like Impossible Burgers or any of the other brands that are out there, you're missing out because those are pretty damn good. But, you know, let's put that aside for now. You're go ahead and you're going to indulge on July 4th, as you well should. And then the next day, maybe you want something a little bit lighter, something that kind of gives you the energy and nutrients that you might need without that heavy feeling of potato salad or, you know, a half rack of ribs or anything like that. Well, why don't you just grab yourself a Built Bar? It's the best tasting protein bar ever. Gives you all the nutrients you need, fills you up so that it can give you the energy that you need to go through your day, to get through that, you know, struggle at work or whatever. Look, right now, I know most of you will probably have Monday off, July 5th. You're listening to this right now, probably from the comfort of home, or maybe even on Tuesday morning on the way to work or something like that. But when you have that kind of feeling from being still heavy after a long weekend, and grab a Built Bar, gives you the energy you need. And best of all, right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com and enter the promo code LOCKED15, you get 15% off your first order. So use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off, but only if you go to BuiltBar.com. Miami Heat are out of the playoffs, but the road to the final still continues, and our coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. Who had Phoenix Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference? I don't think a lot of people expected the Lakers to be out of it. I think most people probably had the Clippers as the next best bet out of the Western Conference. Maybe Milwaukee had a chance, but I think most people would have probably envisioned Brooklyn, Los Angeles, Lakers, that is, as being the likely finals candidate for Phoenix and Milwaukee to be in there. It's good. Look, I hate the small market talk. I think it's really disingenuous. I think it's, as I've made a point before, small markets aren't bad, especially to superstar players. What's bad is small market teams that are run poorly. And I think that's the big issue that everybody wants to overlook. It's like, oh, this is a big boost for teams that are in small markets. Such a good boost for a small market, you know, teams, or the attitude that small market teams can't hang on to players. And I've seen people spend the Giannis re-signing, that Supermax extension with a small market team, sticking it to those big city teams like New York. Giannis wasn't going to freaking New York. Chicago's one of the biggest city out there. They haven't lured a damn free agent in two decades. What the hell is anybody fucking talking about? Pardon my French. I just can't believe this. Like, I get so frustrated when people like talk about small market teams as being like these poor, you know, poor little cities like Milwaukee. Who's going to go sign in Milwaukee? It's like, well, you know what? Milwaukee sucks. They've been a shitty team for a long goddamn time. That's why nobody goes to the freaking Bucks. It's not because they're a small city. Nobody gives a damn. You're on the road for half the season. Nobody cares. You build a mansion in Miami is just almost as good as a mansion in Milwaukee. If you're a superstar NBA player, you go wherever the hell you want to. Your life is yours to create. It's not about the city. It's not about the small market, quote unquote. It's about a poorly run goddamn team. Nobody goes to Chicago, a city that NBA players generally and genuinely love. And nobody goes there. Why? Because of guard packs, because of a bad front office, because of bad coaching, because of roster turnover, and on and on and on. This isn't a knock on the Bulls. You think people wouldn't want to go to Chicago, a great city for an NBA superstar? Again, a city that a lot of people love, a lot of players love, and they wouldn't want to go there? Look at Atlanta. Atlanta's in the Southeast, right? I mean, you're talking about Miami, the weather, and everything else. You're talking about a strong black population in Atlanta with a good culture, with a great vibe, restaurants, burgeoning, anything you can think of for a metropolitan-type city. If you're an NBA superstar, you think you don't look. I know a lot of players like going to the beach and everything else like that, but you can get a lot of Southern living in Atlanta that you can't get anywhere else. Nobody's joining the Hawks as a free agent and hasn't been for a long time. They will now. Why? Because they've got a superstar in Trae Young. They've got a good coach in Nick McMillan, and so on and so forth. It's just this talk about, you know, small markets and everything else is so damn frustrating. I'm sorry. That's a rant, right? I'm sorry. I don't indulge in rants very often, but the small market one is so insulting. nobody's going to Portland. Yeah, you know why nobody's going to Portland? Because they've been a badly run team. We've seen Neil O'Shea screw the pooch so often over his tenure there that that's why they're not going. Yeah, they've got a superstar already in Dame Lillard. They've got a secondary star in the CJ McCollum, and they've other, you know, got other complimentary players. And mind you, they have had free agents signed there, Derrick Jones Jr., et cetera. You know, I mean, players will sign wherever the checks are coming. If you're a superstar or if you're ring chasing, maybe you won't go to said team. But P.J. Tucker went to, you know, Milwaukee, right? And like, I know he didn't have any real say in the matter, theoretically. Maybe he could have preferred to go to Milwaukee over Miami or anywhere else. But as far as small markets are concerned, it's so disingenuous, so ridiculous. Let's let go of that talk, please. Anybody listening to the show, if you've got a change of opinion or you got a counter to this point, I'd love to hear it because I just don't see any evidence. I've seen, look, I made this point on the Locked On NBA show right after the buyout market when poor Portland missed out on the chance to bring in Blake Griffin. It's like, yeah, nobody's going to Portland, dude, because they're not winning the championship. He went to Brooklyn because, well, three good reasons. Their name is Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin frickin' Durant. That's why he went to Brooklyn, you know? It has nothing to do with the market. Sure, if I'm a player who's, you know, in my 30s and I have millions of dollars to spend, I'd probably prefer spending them in New York rather than in Portland. But again, this was a three-month rental or two-month rental for Blake Griffin. He was there in the middle of the season, played out the rest of the season there, and if he had won a championship, who knows, he might have retired. But the reality is he chose Brooklyn instead because, well, their path to the finals was a lot more likely than Portland's. So I'm curious. I know that, again, that's probably a Blazers fan who thinks they've missed out on a lot of players and everything else like that. And maybe there's specific cases throughout NBA history or recent NBA history about buyout players that join X team over another team. More than likely, there's a very good reason, and it's probably because they have a much better chance at winning a championship than whatever quote-unquote small market team didn't get that opportunity. So allow me my rant here, and I'll move on. Although this topic, no less frustrating, and I'll go to a great question sent in by a dedicated listener, Billy. You know what? I just realized I've been ranting for so long here that this show is going a little bit too long. So I'm going to save this last question from Billy for the next segment. That's a teaser for you, so just stick around. But before you do that, just remember that Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. I saw some numbers being going around about, you know, Phoenix and Milwaukee in the finals and everything else, and who has, you know, who has a favorite to win. And of course, the book changes and bettors go here and the numbers change there and there. Look, I'm not a bettor myself, but I know if I want to, the place I do it is Bet Online. There's tons of sports action you can place wagers on. Bet Online is the place to do it. Go to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out everything they have on their great site. Don't sit on the sidelines. This is your chance to win a lot of money. Okay, get in the game as teams prep for their runs to the finals. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. Starting July 19th, the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 is presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, that's Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former general manager Ryan McDonough, our Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Scalabrine. What a heck of a player. Look, you know, it's making some interesting buzz, right? Because that's what happens, right? You take a snippet of something that's said and then it gets blown up and aggregated. And Scalabrine recently made some comments about the challenge. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. A challenge that he did online a few years ago where he was tired, right? Because the White Mamba kind of became this weird joke about, you know, being the 15th man on the roster and doesn't get a lot of playing time in Boston and things of that sort. So you have, you know, regular guys and maybe played a little college ball, maybe even played a little bit overseas, and said, you know what, I can take on this guy. And so he got a little tired of it, and he took on those challengers, and he mopped the floor with them. And I think he made his recent comment. I don't know if he had said something during those original challenges that he posted online, which you should go and see if you have plenty of time to do so. But he also reiterated it on a recent episode of The Long Shot, the podcast hosted by Miami's own, for at least a little while, Duncan Robinson. And he mentioned that he's closer to LeBron James. This is Brian Scalabrine. Brian Scalabrine is, you know, in his own words, closer to LeBron James than those challengers are to Scalabrine. That it's easy to look at a guy like Scalabrine. And remember, I asked this of Kelly Olynyk, a actual viable NBA superstar who has long hair and a goatee and looks like a 90s grunge fan. And so a lot of people assume, oh, he's a scrub, I could take him, right? Not exactly built or ripped or anything like that. He doesn't, quote unquote, look like an NBA player. So it's easy to just confuse that you have a chance to challenge these guys. You don't. You know, you never do. They're very, very good, right? Even a, quote unquote, bad player is a dominant super athlete. This is why I've had such a hard time with any player that gets ripped by fans or is called wash or anything like that. Like 41-year-old LeBron, LeBron James is still probably pretty good, but 41-year-old Udonis Haslem is still going to be very, very, very good. You just can't rush to these judgments like this. If there's going to be anything that I want to promote on Independence Day, it's being independent from that kind of way of thinking. Just put yourself in the position of NBA players a little bit more. Think about it from their perspective. I know that it's easy for me to bring this because I've sat across and talked to players and seen them grow and develop and see what they have to deal with on a daily basis. And they share their thoughts with me and things of that sort. It's easy to get lost in the world of fandom because you're so passionate. You guys love your Miami Heat. You love your basketball. And that's something to be proud of. But at the same time, we can't overlook the fact that the people that play this game are superior athletes that are also human beings and should be treated as such. And, you know, I have a family that loves sports. Not just my family, but also my in-laws. My wife's family loves sports. And my brother-in-law and my father-in-law love football. And they love watching. They love the draft. They loved all the things that make up, you know, fandom of football. And years ago, I made a point, I can't do it. I can't watch football anymore. And they're like, whoa, this is great. This is a great game. I love it. It's like nobody loved football more than I did. I played football. I loved football. I embraced that sport more than most people do. And I used to live and die by football much more than I ever did with basketball. I know that might seem hard to believe, but that's the reality. And yet, after talking to players, I couldn't do it. I couldn't watch NFL football games anymore because it's a sport that dehumanizes human beings. They're players. You know, they're commodified. They're just treated so badly. Oh, you broke a leg? Oh, you have a severe injury that might impair your ability to walk for the rest of your life? Sorry, we cut you from the 52-man roster. Like, that kind of attitude is hard for me to stomach. And look, I'm not judging anybody who loves football. I wish it was a different game. I wish it was all played online and simulated. I think most fans would get that same pleasure one way or the other. But I also cannot watch human beings, 22-year-old young men in the prime of their life, destroy their futures at a chance for a possible payday. And you think about the money too, right? I mean, NFL players will always be jealous of NBA players. One, because NBA contracts are guaranteed, which they're not in the NFL, but just the risk to their health. Like, yeah, you have the occasional injury, the Paul George, Sean Livingston, and so forth. But by and large, NBA players enjoy a much longer and healthier career. And still, 4.5 years, the average, because for every Udonis Haslem, you have, I don't know, who's a player that only made it for a year or two. You know, a Yakuba Diawara, let's say. That's going back a bit, maybe. I'm sure there are others. But it's hard for me to watch football and to see these guys getting hurt the way they do. So I've cut it out of my life, and I'm okay with it. I miss it sometimes because I miss the camaraderie, right? I miss the friendship of watching the game and getting excited. Like, I'll still watch UM games on occasion because I can't, as UMFSU in particular, because, well, I'm not a Seminole fan. Let's just leave it at that. Having lived in Tallahassee for 2 years, great city, terrible fans. Here I am, probably alienating half of my listeners, right? If you're a Seminole fan, well, I'm sorry for you. You deserve better. In any case, look, wow. Looking at this right now, I have gone a half an hour and talked very little about Miami Heat basketball. So I am going to put a pin in this episode and tease next one where I talk a little bit about Tyler Hero because, well, you guys are not treating him as well as he deserves. Again, maybe tying into that whole thing about remembering the humanity behind our players and behind a league that we love so much. Just remember that these players, especially a 20-year-old, still has plenty of potential there, potential that he'll likely realize whether it's in a Heat uniform or not, but we should all consider that when we look at his development and everything he's done over the last two seasons. But just a reminder to you, you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskHelloHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. Special thanks to all of our sponsors for supporting the show, but thanks to all of you for taking your time to listen to it. This is David Ramil signing off for now.